Father, thank you for this day. Thanks for the privilege of being in your house. We think of David when he said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. And Lord, we're grateful to be here and want to hear what you want to say to our hearts. Give us your perspective, your Holy Spirit perspective as believers in a challenging time and day. And so, Lord, as we always pray, we pray for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to us through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray this always and only through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, saying, amen. So one verse for you today, kind of a important verse. Would you turn, in your Bibles to Hebrews? There you go. Towards the end of the New Testament. I hope you know this verse, memorize it, because in times like these, it's really important to hold on to. What does it say? Jesus Christ is what? The same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen? Amen. So, once again, we find ourselves in a highly contentious election year. We have elections all the way from our local area here in the Bitterroot, through the state, through national, all the way up to the White House. And we have about 8 weeks until Election Day in November 5th. And we will, without question, we're already seeing it, we're witnessing partisan politics amping up. They are more and more heated. And frankly, as we get closer to that day, they are becoming nastier and nastier. Have you noticed? I mean, it's like, man, just the amount of paper that's in my mailbox every day. It's like, you know, just hating on each other. It's crazy. Now, here at Mosaic Church, since our founding some 7.5 years ago, we have been committed to not allowing the ever-changing political landscape to become a distraction and a snare, right? We want to focus on what it means to be radically loving, radically giving, radically forgiving as Christians. And if those Christian values were ever needed, not only in our society, but in our fallen world, it is now, I think. Right? To be sure now, everybody has their opinions and they have the right to discuss those amongst themselves. And if you know me at all, you know very clearly where I stand in all of this. And if you don't know, then you don't know me very well. But here's the thing. What I've unapologetically said over these years is that this pulpit itself will never, ever be used to promote partisan politics per se, right? In fact, did you know that's technically illegal? It's technically illegal for me to promote particular candidates from this pulpit, even though churches do it all the time all around our country with impunity. But that's actually true. Now, if there was a number one reason why people have left Mosaic Church after being here for a season, it's the political thing I found. A lot of times they say, oh, I think he's all right, I think. And then all of a sudden, he's not all right, or they're not all right, or something's going on. It's interesting over the years. Yes, as Christians, we must vote our values, right? That should go without question, right? But let us never be so naive to think that any political candidate at any time or any age is somehow the Messiah. Right? I mean, sometimes I hear from well-meaning Christian people, if so-and-so isn't voted into this or that office from the local, state, to federal, all of a sudden, it's the end of the world as we know it. And I don't just mean, you know, the old REM song, right? Since we're talking music today, Gary. You know... No candidate is the Messiah, the answer to all our problems. And because if we push that too hard, that becomes idolatry for the believer, right? Right. Okay, only Jesus is Lord. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. No matter who wins or loses in November, Jesus Christ will still be firmly on his throne. Amen? Last Wednesday, I was at the county ministerium, and it got a little heated in there. And we did a little Bible study on Ephesians 2, and they asked for commentary. And I said, what was it, verse 6? Jesus Christ himself is our peace. Amen. Will he be your peace when things go down in your life? That's the real question. I don't care if it's politics, personal, whatever it may be, jobs, idiots in your way on the way to Missoula. You know, it's an opportunity to grow in sanctification. Pray for them, right? I remember in the Bronx one day, I was walking down the street, and they always drove like insane people. And there was a car going slow, and this one Italian dude was mad. He just whipped around and just stuck out the bird out the window. And then you saw him do this because he flipped off a nun. Sweet. That's the German word Schadenfreude. I get to enjoy your pain a little bit here. Probably not terribly Christian, but you get the idea. Now, as to the very related theme I have wanted to address since the COVID pandemic, there is also, it's sort of connected, this sort of ignorant and ridiculous idea, again, that things have never been this bad before. That was kind of the point of the video. That video was only 40 years in the life of a person. Many of you know all about those. Anybody remember the Cuban Missile Crisis? Ooh. And some of you are like, what are you talking about? History matters. It really, really does. Right? You know, this idea that things have never been this bad before is ahistorical. Frankly, it's a lie. I've heard it perpetuated time and time again. And it's often by angry believers, an angry believer is a fearful believer. Right? Do we learn anything about Yoda? We've been down this road 8 times. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. And suffering leads to the dark side, meaning Satan's domain, right? Fearful believers. And I think when we get worked out about this stuff, I think sometimes maybe a few of us have flunked our high school world history course. Yeah, there's one, not paying attention, right? Once upon a time. Now, if I had a nickel every time I've heard this phrase, I could retire. I've said this before, and here it is again. But Pastor, it's never been this bad before. And what I say is, but brother, but sister, yes. Yes, it's been far worse than it is today. I remember our church deacon, Wayne, saying once in response to this, he said, actually, it's never been this good before. We're all eating pretty good and got some pretty sweet stuff. And, you know, now what I found is this idea, there's other things that attach to this idea, right? That it's never been this bad before. Among Christians over the years, I've seen this often related with this undue and even obsessive interest in predicting future events. Right? In your lifetime, how many times have you heard somebody say, predict the coming of Jesus Christ? Like specifically on a day even. That's a problem, right? I've been thinking a lot about this over the recent months. I'm not here to toot my horn, but I do know something about these sort of things. I am professionally trained as a historian, biblical scholar, and theologian. But today what I want to do is use some history, some humor, and some good old hermeneutics, some interpretation, to put this idea, this statement to bed, hopefully, this morning. And again, but Pastor, it's never been this bad before. Yes, 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 it has. Right? Now, we're Americans, and inquiring minds want to know. Remember that? Oh, wait a minute. That's that rag at the grocery store, right? Remember National Enquirer that has told us before that Elvis had alien babies and that the end of the world should have ended in 2012 with the pagan Mayan calendar? Anybody remember that? Yeah. Oh, yes, yes. Good, good, good. We have a little history today. You should know that never ever in the history of the Church of Jesus Christ in 2,000 plus years has a people been more obsessed about the exact time of Jesus' return in glory. This is Americans for you. I can tell you as a historian. And this is part of the point where many Christians use the written word of God, the Bible, as if it were some sort of magic eight ball. Or a Chinese fortune cookie. Newsflash, there's no fortune cookies in China. It was just there, right? The fortune cookie, I think, was created in San Francisco by a Japanese dude. Really? Really. Knowledge matters, right? How many times, again, over the course of your life have you heard someone proclaim they know exactly when Jesus is coming back? I'm telling you, Jesus is coming back on such and such a time, and woo, you know? This is not only incredibly bold, but it's incredibly foolish to do. Incredibly foolish, because it's patently unbiblical. It really is. As we've said before, say it again. Here's another verse for you to memorize. Matthew 25:36. And who's saying these words? Jesus. It's like the perfect answer for every children in Sunday school. If you don't know the answer, just say to your teacher, Jesus, and they go, uh-huh. Matthew 25:36. But about that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor who? The Son, but only, is this not clear? Is this not clear? No one knows, not even Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the triune Godhead. Only the Father knows. The Father will tell Jesus when it's time to return in glory to end all time. He can't be any clearer, I don't think. Yet, here we're on the American Christian landscape, self-appointed prognosticating prophets seem to continue to abound all over the place, right? Do you remember what the fate of false prophets were in ancient Israel? Stoning to death with rocks, not legal reefer, this is not Colorado. Rocks, die. Why? Why is it so serious? Because false prophets and teachers spiritually scatter God's people. And did you know, names matter, right? In the Bible, the devil's name in biblical Greek, what does devil mean? The scatterer. The devil wants to scatter you, right? So, Jim, when do you think Jesus Christ will return? When the Father tells him. Matthew 25:36. Here's the thing. Every day, you and I are one closer to that day. Are you ready? Am I ready, right? Have you ever noticed how mad that makes a lot of Christians when you say that? When do you think, Jim? You're a pastor. When do you think Jesus will return? When the Father tells him to? Yeah, but like when? I don't know. I'm just telling you. They get mad. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Greg sent me a meme this week of a little girl who we cracked up. He was like, why are you so angry at me? I just told you what the Bible says. This is Christians, huh? We need to, we've been told, right? We need to stop using the book of Revelation as a fortune cookie too. That's wrong. We've had 3 studies on the book of Revelation in recent years, right? I've heard this. Oh, I've had a lot of people leave my churches over the years. But pastor, we need prophecy teaching. You just got it. You just got it. What you really need is an intimate walk, daily walk with Jesus Christ, bathed in the teaching of his word, the Bible. Any takers? Amen. Oh, pastor, you don't know nothing about prophecy. Get in the Bible, man. Am I preaching now? What we really need is Paul's command to his young protege, Timothy, his young disciple. He's raising him up to continue God's work. Memorize 2 Timothy 2:15. Study yourself approved to God, a Christian worker who does not need to be ashamed, correctly handling the word of truth. If I had a nickel for every time I've heard out here, Jim, I don't need all that stuff. I just need Jesus. That sounds spiritual. That's probably another ranting sermon at some point. But it's just lazy. It's just lazy. I found this so ironic. I've shared this before. When I first moved here, we went down to the big hole. You know, I had to go to the battle site and then go and get a really expensive burger and wisdom. It's not wise to buy burgers and wisdom. And you go to the gas station / grocery store. Remember, you know that one down there? And I went to go get some snacks one day, and there was this poster that horrified me. And it said this: you know you're a Montanan if the highest level of education was your hunter certification, safety certification. I was like, we ain't in Kansas no more, Toto, right? Add knowledge to your faith, Paul said. It's so important. That's one of the reasons why we have an adult Christian education hour right before service, study thyself approved. It's really helpful. Memorize Hebrews 13:8. Right? In all of the midst of the ignorance and chaos of our world and our society right now, this is encouraging. Jesus Christ is the same what? Yesterday, today, and forevermore. Good. Now, returning to our historical flunky statement, but Pastor, it's never been this bad before. Hey, why don't we take a stroll down history's memory lane? Isn't that fun? All right, here we go. Newsflash. Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord, AD 67, in Rome, the heart of the evil empire. Remember when Ronald Reagan called the Soviets the evil empire? Woo! I'm not sure he was wrong, but here's the really evil empire. Jesus' chief apostle, Peter, and the apostle to the Gentiles, Paul, were both imprisoned and awaiting sentences. The incredibly deranged and evil Roman Emperor Nero needs an excuse to rebuild Rome as he wants it, so he has fires lit all around the city, burns down a significant part of ancient Rome, and who does he blame? Christians. Even the pagans knew that it wasn't the Christians that did it, but that's all the excuse that Nero needed, and so he begins murdering Christians and feeding others to the lions. Oh, Pastor, they're just persecuting me. They're laughing at my Jesus. Why are you surprised? At least you're not getting fed to the lions. How about that one? That's pretty cool. Not. He's pleased that he has Christianity's two big ringleaders in his clutches, and he says, what shall I do? I think I'll murder them. Yeah, that's what we'll do. That should help kill this young religious movement that was started by that Roman rebel named Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified on a Roman gibbet. So what does the evil emperor do? He crucifies Peter upside down and has Paul's head cut off. Not really a great way to start off a new religion, right? Just saying. But as early church author and apologist Tertullian declared, the blood of martyrs is seed. Ever heard of that one? You try and stamp out Christianity, good luck. Good luck. They've tried since the beginning. Nero tried. Much to the chagrin of Nero, early Christianity spreads and flourishes like wildfire. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the same when? Yesterday, today, and forevermore. Let's continue our stroll down memory lane. Newsflash. Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord, AD 700, pagan Vikings descend on Scotland and Ireland, murdering Christian monks and sacking their monasteries. There we go. But the men who copy the Bible by hand are being slaughtered mercilessly by the followers of Thor and Odin. Remember those? And what do they do? And I'm not talking about Chris Helmsworth. What do? The remaining men of God take their Bibles, flee to the continent, creating an evangelistic revival in Europe that hadn't been experienced since the time of the apostles. Why? Because Jesus Christ is what? The same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And as Tertullian reminds us, the blood of martyrs is seed. But Pastor, it's never been that way before. Newsflash. Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord, AD 1347, unbeknownst to the Christian traders of Europe, ships bearing precious and exotic wares from the East enter ports, unwittingly carrying infected what? Rats. The fleas of said infected rats then bite people. And the people, there it is, the people become incredibly sick. Rings begin to form around their lymph nodes, right? And hence, and people begin to freak out, not knowing what to do. So what do? They put flowers in their pockets, hence ring around the rosy, a pocket full of posies, ashes, we all fall down. Isn't that fun? You thought that was a nursery rhyme. And, you know, hey, all right. Estimates tell us that 1/3 to 1/2 of all Europe died, as well as over 100 million people in the world at that time. Right? Thus, a medieval pandemic makes our COVID-19 pandemic look about as dangerous as a kindergarten classroom. Now, in the inner city, they can be dangerous. Ask Deb. But I'm just saying, not to lighten it, but let's be comparative. You know, when everybody's freaked, remember how people lost their ever-loving minds during COVID-19? Yep. Yeah. unnecessarily. Be smart, be safe, all that good stuff, right? I remember we stayed open. Oh, the hubris of Mosaic Church to stay open. Now, some people came and gone, that's fine, right? And I've shared this before. One of the pharmacists across the street, we were out talking. I think I was talking with Wayne. And you know when someone's coming after you, you can just sort of feel it. There's a disturbance in the force. James Earl Jones just died, right, Darth Vader? Okay. Yeah, he was always the voice of God. Mosaic, I'm talking to you. Luke, I'm your father. Anyway, I could feel this woman, and she's just coming across the street. I'm like, oh, she's after me. And she comes in here and walks through that door. She got right in my face. How dare you keep this church open? Don't you know that people are sick and they could die? I'm a pharmacist. I'm a trained health professional. And I said, madam, please observe 6 feet in safety. The capillaries in her eyes burst, I think. And she stormed out and proceeded to call the commissioners and the mayor and everybody else to have a chain put on the door of this church. And it didn't work. Praise God, right? You want a good old-fashioned pandemic? How about the Black Death of 1347? But Europe eventually recovers, people gain immunity, and in the midst of the chaos and death, the truth of Hebrews 13:8 remains. Jesus Christ is what? Same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But pastor, it's never been that bad before. Newsflash. Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord, AD 1847, the Native American potato made its way to the Emerald Isle, becoming the food of choice for a booming population of poor Irish farmers. You know this story, right? Unbeknownst to the Irish, a potato blight took root, destroying virtually the entire potato crop in Ireland, causing massive starvation, resulting in 1 million deaths. It's called Black 47. Another 2 million Irish fled to America and Canada on what were called coffin ships, and many never make it here, dying at sea. Ironically, did you know English landowners in Ireland had converted the best lands into cash crops and continued to export bumper crops at a profit while the Irish literally starved? They were producing bumper crops of food in Ireland at the time. Potato famine ended in 1852. Ireland slowly recovered with their faith in God intact, embracing the truth that Jesus Christ is the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. But pastor, it's never been this bad before. Yes, it has. And so as the followers of Jesus Christ, can we please keep things in perspective? Is what I'm trying to share today. Or my favorite Roman Stoic philosopher Seneca said this, asked this question, how do we keep our heads when everyone around us is losing theirs as followers of Jesus? So how about a little prayerful perspective? You know, can we just please get edumacated? Please, go so far. I think of my grandfather who was born in 1904. Beginning in the 20th century, I did his funeral years ago, and I reminded the congregation that my grandfather and his generation experienced historical change and massive death at a rate unlike any previous generation ever. So let's take a little final stroll down memory lane, shall we? Let's just take it from the perspective of a person who was born in 1900. Let's do that. So if you were born in 1900, on your 14th birthday, the war to end all wars, World War I begins. And it continues till your 18th birthday. And in those 4 years, 22 million people died. Oh, here's another pandemic. Remember hearing about the Spanish flu? That runs until your 20th birthday, killing an additional 50 million people. Did you know that now there's the 8th inoculation is available for COVID-19? I think I'll pass, thank you very much. On your 29th birthday, the Great Depression begins, unemployment hits 25%, and the world's GDP drops 27%, continuing until age 33. And here we are. Oh my, where am I gonna find the money for that travel trailer I want? Perspective. Yes, I'm Midwestern sarcastic. You caught that. When you turn 39, World War II starts. You aren't even over the hill yet. You just feel like it. Between your 39th and 45th birthday, 75 million people die. Smallpox was still, isn't that lovely? Smallpox was still an epidemic until your 40s, and during your lifetime, it had already killed 300 million people in the world. Age 50, the Korean War, we're starting to get close to Billy Joel's song. Age 50, the Korean War, excuse me, it's actually Korean conflict, right? Is it? You may know about that. Kills 5 million people, and you fear polio until the inoculation comes out at age 55. It hits America every summer, and you have many friends and family members that contract its horrors. Anybody remember the days of polio? Ever remember seeing polio victims? I remember seeing them when I was young. That freaked me out, right? We don't even think about it. Now it's just an oral inoculation. Oh, that's yucky. Perspective. On your 62nd birthday, you get to enjoy the Cuban Missile Crisis. You know, nuclear Armageddon. Some of you remember that. When you turn 75, the Vietnam conflict, war, finally ends. But Pastor, it's never been this way before. Why, yes, my dear Virginia, yes it has. And there really is a Santa Claus. Just think about it. How did people born in 1900 endure all of this? You know, if you asked a young person, a young adult in 1985, how your 85-year-old grandfather could have ever understood how hard your schooling days were. So hard. You know what cracks me up when I hear people younger than me say, these kids got it so good these days. I'm like, you don't say. I never had a cell phone when I, here we go, right? Here we go, right? How could your grandmother ever possibly comprehend what it was like to deal with that mean bully? Now, I understand bullying's bad and all that kind of stuff. Not encouraging it, but perspective, right? Maybe that little bit of prayerful perspective would go a long way for us as we approach another contentious election cycle, right? Just maybe, if God forbid your preferred politicians aren't elected, the sun will continue to rise, and millions upon millions of people actually won't die. Again, Midwestern sarcasm. Some enjoy it, some hate it. Maybe our brave men and women in uniform who gave the ultimate sacrifice did it for more than just for us to get old, pull our pants up to our neck, and complain full-time about the government while binging Netflix until our eyes bleed. Maybe, just maybe. But maybe with a little prayerful and historical perspective as believers, maybe Jesus was right. Maybe when Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount said this, "Can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life?" I read in our Daily Bread this week about a lady who said she had one regret. Did anybody catch this? In her life, that she spent her time worrying and not trusting the Lord. Maybe Jesus is right. Can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Why? Because no matter what may happen this election cycle or into the days or the years ahead, this one truth remains, and memorize it, please, in closing. Jesus Christ is the same what? Yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the powers of your word, the truth of your word, Lord. And we think of our brothers and sisters who have gone before us, enduring hardships, even persecution unto death for their faith. We think of things that our loved ones have been through, hard things. We think of your faithfulness, Lord. And we just want to thank you that no matter what we may be facing today, however hard and even horrible it is, you're still on the throne. And you will make a way, Lord. You'll make a way because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so we hold on to that truth because it's your truth. And we give you thanks and praise for it. In Jesus' name, saying, amen.